Before we turn to our scriptures this morning, let us first turn to God in prayer. Guide us, holy God, by your word and spirit, that in your light we may see light, in your truth find freedom, and in your will discover your peace. Through Christ our Lord we pray. Amen. Our Old Testament reading this morning comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 56. You may follow along on page 686 in your pew Bibles. Let us listen now for the word of God. Thus says the Lord, maintain justice and do what is right. For soon my salvation will come and my deliverance be revealed. Happy is the mortal who does this, the one who holds it fast, who keeps the Sabbath, not profaning it, and refrains from doing any evil. Do not let the foreigner join to the Lord say, the Lord will surely separate me from his people. And do not let the eunuch say, I am just a dry tree. For thus says the Lord, to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, who choose the things that please me and hold fast my covenant, I will give in my house and within my walls a monument and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. And the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord, to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord, and to be his servants, all who keep the Sabbath and do not profane it, and hold fast my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain, and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. Thus says the Lord God, who gathers the outcast of Israel, I will gather others to them besides those already gathered. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our New Testament lesson comes from the second chapter of the book of Ephesians. You can follow along on page 192 in the New Testament section of the Pew Bibles. We will be beginning with verse 13. Let us indeed listen for God's word to us. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace. In his flesh he has made both groups into one and has broken down the dividing wall, that is, the hostility between us. He has abolished the law with its commandments and ordinances, that he might create in himself one new humanity in place of the two, thus making peace, and might reconcile both groups to God in one body through the cross, thus putting to death that hostility through it. So he came and proclaimed peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him, both of us have access in one spirit to the Father. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are citizens with the saints and also members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. In him, the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built together spiritually into a dwelling place for God. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I loved growing up as a PK, a preacher's kid. I was also a PPK, a Presbyterian preacher's kid. One thing I loved in particular was knowing so much behind the scenes happenings in the church. It's obvious that I must have loved that because now I see it all the time. Well, my parents talked all the time, it seemed. My dad just loved bringing people into things, and he still does, especially his family. He loved bringing them into what was happening. He wanted us to be as excited about it as he was. Sometimes, long before others would hear the information, I would learn where the next upcoming mission trip was taking place. I would learn who was going to have a baby, what the theme for the next vacation church school would be, when the always old church secretary was going to retire, and lots of other things that excited me as a kid. I sensed the responsibility of the information, and so I held it respectfully close. Well, but because I was privy to a lot of the conversations that my mom and dad shared, this also meant that I would hear about the not so exciting behind the scenes things happening in the church. I would learn why Wilma was protesting this year's Bible study and no longer attending her circle. I would learn how the Watkins and the Steins could no longer sit together in the same pew because their grown children were having difficulty in their marriage. And I learned how Linda's cancer had come back. I also heard about difficulties that my dad had with one parishioner in particular, a man named Daniel. This man was a thorn in my dad's side for those early years at the church where he served. Daniel used a variety of techniques for his thorniness, including publicly critiquing my dad, writing a letter to Session, complaining about a decision he thought Dad had forced upon the session, and talking privately with folks whom he thought he could sway, all attempting to discredit my dad and his ministry. Well, my mom was a particularly supportive, wise, and patient sounding board. She was a good reader, and she still is, of human nature. She would remind my dad that people like Daniel most of the time have other things going on in their lives. They have other needs that aren't being met, some discomfort in their lives, which means that what they really need is patience and love. I realized one day during communion that my dad was able to share that patience and love that Daniel needed. I was in the congregation and had just the right view, the right angle to see my dad take the bread and lovingly stoop down in front of Daniel, who was an elder serving in the front pew. My dad and Daniel looked at each other eye to eye as Dad said, "This is the body of Christ, broken for you." It was a powerful scene. Sharing the Lord's Supper together that day wiped away layers of discontent and animosity. It uncovered the ancient memory that they were indeed brothers in Christ. The communion table wasn't magic. The struggles didn't all disappear, but God had certainly been present powerfully in that moment. And those two children of God were lightened when their brotherhood in Christ came into focus rather than their disagreements. After that, Daniel and Dad still disagreed on many issues, but they began talking to each other about them rather than one talking behind the other's back. They both grew from their relationship, often finding new solutions and new perspectives based on those conversations. Friends, God has blessed us as God's people with much variety, with many differences, ones that have been around since the beginning of the church, so we are not going to have them disappear. And since the beginning, God has been trying to share with us the good news that these differences don't have to manifest themselves in hostility and dividing walls. They don't have to be displayed in complaints and letters to Session and talking behind one another's backs. These differences can be noted without tearing the community apart. In the passage from Ephesians, we hear that Jesus made both groups into one. He broke down the dividing wall. That was the hostility that was between them. These groups, the Jews and the Gentiles, had centuries of animosity between them. They were mortal enemies. They had nothing to do with each other. And then they were suddenly thrown together into a new community of faith. God yearned for them to learn to live together, to live into God's gift of shalom. This Hebrew word means not only peace, but harmony, wholeness, and health. God promised this new community would be a place where there were no longer strangers or aliens. All were members of the household of God. All were sisters and brothers in Christ. The early church slowly learned to live into this reality. Christ was their peace. They became one in him. But note how this peace and this unity was accomplished. Gentiles did not become Jews. Jews did not become Gentiles. They all became new people. Their new identity was Christian. Christ created in himself one new humanity in place of two, thus making peace. The peace granted by God to this early church is the same peace that God has given to us in our community. It is a sense of oneness in Christ that enables the members of this community to transcend our differences, to accept those differences. We do have them. The differences, though, can be noted without tearing our community apart. We certainly won't stop having those differences, but we have learned to discuss them and to move forward together, respecting and learning from the other's perspective. For example, we don't stop being a Republican, we don't stop being a Democrat, but our overarching identity is not one of those. Our overarching identity is Christian. Our identity is through Christ. That is our focus rather than our differences. We hear this clearly in the Ephesians passage in verse 20, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. Many commentators have noted that the word cornerstone maybe should have been translated as keystone, which is the final stone set in an archway to complete the arch. When I read that description, my mind immediately went back to the Children's Museum in Chattanooga, Tennessee, where a good number of years ago, our family worked together to build an arch using large kid-friendly foam blocks because they fell a number of times. The very last piece that we put in was that top middle piece, the connecting piece, the one which held both sides up as they came together. That center top piece is called the keystone. The display that was around that building area helped the kids and some of the adults too learn about how the parabolic arch functions, how it works, and how strong of a structure it is. The pictures around the display showed the St. Louis Gateway Arch, as well as ancient Roman buildings which used that same structure. I think that we could take a photo of Highland and put next to that picture of the Gateway Arch or the ancient Roman buildings. Not because of the architecture of our building, but because we are like an arch held together by Christ. A parabolic arch without the cornerstone without the keystone would crumble, even if it had a good foundation. And even with our strong foundation of over 65 years serving this community, if we lost sight of Jesus Christ and started to let our differences become our focus and our dividing wall, then we too would crumble. Friends, Jesus Christ is our necessary keystone and holds our community together and in place. I came across a quote this week, which I really like, from William Barclay. The Christian church, he says, is not a collection of acquaintances. It is not even a gathering of friends. It is a family in God. Friends, we are created a family by God's love for us made known in Jesus Christ. We certainly know families that disagree, but families come together around tables and share meals together. As we come to this table today, let us remember that we indeed are family. May our brotherhood and sisterhood be what comes to our minds. May that be our focus as we are gathered by invitation of Jesus Christ, who is our keystone. Let us pray. Amen. Our affirmation of faith today comes from the Nicene Creed. We will join our voices with sisters and brothers throughout the century who have shared this statement. You can turn to page 34 of the front section of our hymnals. Let us indeed stand and share together what we believe. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen.
We believe in the Lord Jesus
Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated. As a way of responding to God's gifts to us, let us indeed share our gifts with God and with this community through the giving of our tithes and offerings.